Welcome to Active Donegal, a series which takes a look at how sport is feeding into the Donegal communities and how physical activity is being encouraged. We will link up with organisations and local clubs to highlight what sports and activities are available for the diverse groups and communities in the Northwest region. In part one, we have teamed up with the Donegal Sports Partnership, who run various programmes to promote and encourage physical activities with their primary focus on participation, inclusion and interaction. Coming up later, we will speak with the Donegal Sports Partnership Lead for Sport Inclusion, Therese Lafferty, and Sport Inclusion Officer, Hugh Carlin. But first, we hear from Miles Sweeney, Chief Executive of the Donegal Sports Partnership, who's been explaining what the role of the partnership is in the county and community.
Well, the Sports Partnership, I suppose, in Donegal was established in 2001. Initially, at that time, it was a pilot project in Ireland. It was one of, eight initially that were in phase one, supported by Sport Ireland. And it came out of, I think, an Irish Sports Council Act that the government had established at the time to look at bringing, I suppose, sport, more localised sport, into the various areas in the counties, working locally, I suppose, with local authorities, with the health boards, etc. at the time. I suppose at that time we were one of eight established, and the two main objectives, I suppose, of the sports partnerships in Ireland are around growing participation in sport and also around education and training, so building the capacity of communities. I suppose when we look at sport in general, we think about competitive sport. We think about all the clubs that we have in Donegal or in Ireland. We think of our county teams, we think of athletics, we think of boxing and all the various sports that are happening. But when you look at it in the cold light of day, I suppose, and you look at the facts and figures that are there, there's a whole lot of people within the county that are not participating in sport. There's a small percentage that are, but there's a whole lot of people that are not, for one reason or another. And I suppose the responsibility in terms of trying to get those people active lies with the sports partnerships. So it's really that's our real key role that we have, is around this growing participation sport. And sometimes people forget that we're not sport for everybody. You know, we're not totally involved in community or competitive sport or in, you know, winning and all of that side of things, or even the elite side of sport. We don't get involved in any of that, really. Our focus is more on the grassroots side of things, working with the various target groups that are there, that are set by various pieces of research, and to focus in on those target groups so that we can try and get those active.
Well, part of this Active Donegal series is very much focusing around inclusion, equality, diversity, disability. Under those categories, what is it the Sports Partnership is doing, mate?
Well, a lot of the time what we're doing is collaborating and partnering with a lot of those organisations, those representative bodies, the disability organisations, the diversity groups, etc., etc. We try and respond, I suppose, in a way to the demographics of the communities. We look at developing things like needs analysis within the communities as well, where we can focus in on specific areas, looking at the gaps that are within those communities in terms of participation sport. So if there's a concentration of, say, children with learning disabilities in an area, we try and maybe focus a program in that area to try and respond to the needs of that community. And that could be around maybe a program development, or it could be around education and training. It could be around working with the local schools. It could be working with the local community organisations. It could be a representative body, as I mentioned. So it varies. But a lot of the work that we do is in collaboration and in partnership with. We are a partnership at the end of the day. We're a company limited by guarantee. And all on our board of directors as well, we have representatives for all the various local authorities and the various statutory and community organisations within the county. Yeah. So a lot of the work that we have to do it in collaboration. And Donegal is such a vast county as well, that with a small staff, we just couldn't focus on any one area. We have to try and broaden out. And we have to try, I suppose, work strategically as well, because we're such a huge area. We cover the whole of the county, including the islands as well. So that's a huge area, and if we didn't have that collaboration or that link to engage with the community organisations, we wouldn't get as much work done as we're doing.
Well, you're probably now at this stage, having developed through the years, providing, I suppose, more courses and more activities than ever before for these various communities and the groups within the
We are, but again, we work, I suppose, nationally as well. You know, the governing bodies of sport would partner with us, the various national organisations as well that provide education and training would work with us, and we try and provide a sort of a conduit to getting those programmes into the community. They're growing all the time. There's a need for more, and I think even over the last number of years, and we've seen this from the research that we've done on our new strategic plan, which we're launching shortly, is the need for more capacity building, more volunteers. You know, there's a lot of people that stepped away from sport as well as a result of COVID, and had found other things to do during that time and haven't moved back in again. So it's leaving that sort of vacuum there as well that we have to try and work with the governing bodies to plug as such, you know. So capacity building is another way of sustaining a programme in a community. You know, if you can get people trained up, that if we can provide the training, we can provide the evidence in terms of how we deliver a programme, then there's a good chance that it'll sustain itself within that community as well.
So you might give us an idea, Miles, maybe of what programmes are there at the moment. What are you working through at the moment?
Well, we have a number of programmes. We have a number of different areas that we focus on. One is our community sports development area, and that would focus quite a lot on older adults. Older adults are a growing cohort in terms of the numbers. There's a huge demand for some of the programmes that we deliver, whether it's a Move to the Beat programme, whether it's a curling programme, whether it's a walking program, you know, so you're all the time trying to respond, as I said earlier, to the needs of that particular group. And it's a growing cohort within the older adults. And I look at, you know, myself heading towards that age of older adults now, the 60 plus, you know, you have people that are active, you have people that are inactive, you have people that have disabilities, you have people that have mobility issues. So again, working with, you know, that sector is a huge undertaking as well, and trying to ensure that they, you know, that they get some benefit out of sport and physical activity, because at the end of the day, we know the benefits of it in terms of health and well-being as well, and it's important that we don't sort of take our eye off the ball with, for example, older people.
Was it difficult to get the older people back out? Because you mentioned COVID and how that you basically need more people to help because COVID changed the way things were progressing. Yeah. Was that a case with the older people as well, trying to get them back out and get them into the community and get them active again? Yeah. Was that becoming more challenging?
It was becoming challenging. You know, they were classified as a vulnerable sector within the population at the time. Some were more vulnerable than others as well because of the fact that they had maybe underlying issues or whatever it is, you know. So it is a challenge. But I feel over the last year or two now that the confidence is starting to rise again, and they're coming out in the numbers. And I see some of our programs, the numbers are growing again in terms of participation. But again, you know, there are other issues then. There are people that are living in isolation as well and had been during COVID and are still in isolation. There's huge issues around transport, for example, in Donegal, and trying to get people from A to B and getting them to centre locations where they can participate. So again, there's a lot of challenges out there in terms of working with those more vulnerable groups.
Yeah. We're going to have a number of, I suppose, topics on our series over the next number of months, and one of those is women in sport. It was International Women's Day recently, in March, and you began your programme with Maggie Farley. There's a huge interest for women in sport and activities that have been laid out now over the next number of weeks and months.
There are, and it's great to see it. I suppose we're lucky in a way. We have Nora Stapleton as well, who's lead on the Women in Sport in Sport Ireland in Dublin. And Nora, as you know yourself, is a Fawn lady, so she's from Donegal here and has a strong interest in Donegal. So we work collaboratively with Sport Ireland in terms of rolling out our Women in Sport programme. But the programme only, the Women in Sport Week only obviously lasts a week or whatever, but there's so many other things that happen then during the year, whether it's around capacity building, whether it's around participation. Like, we have a very strong collaboration with Donegal Oil Company, actually here in Donegal. We work with a number of different, I suppose, commercial entities as well. And one of the good partnerships that we've had over the last number of years with Donegal Oil, where we have the Women's Only Adventure event, which will be held in Garton now on April the 27th. And I think to date we have something like 228 women registered for that event. And it's a participation event. It focuses on walking, running, cycling, and kayaking. And even during the Women in Sport Week, which has happened recently, there's been quite a number of the women participating in the Women in Sport events that are now going to participate as well in the adventure event on the 27th of April. So there's a whole lot around that, trying to encourage and to motivate and to work, as I said previously, in partnership with a lot of organisations as well, that we can bring these programmes to the communities and get more women involved as such, you know.
If we look at diversity and suppose special projects, one of your key ones that has been running now for quite a long time is One Donegal,
yeah.
And it's a successful one every year, Miles. Tell us about it.
It is, but I suppose it has been running for quite a number of years, and I suppose it's one that we focus on, and we work in partnership with various groups, whether it's the county local authority, the county council, or the intercultural platform, or our organisations that represent diversity. The focus very much is on people living, people from ethnic minority backgrounds. So you're looking at people living in international protection. It could be refugees. It could be people living, just people coming from different ethnics and that are living in the community, and that might not have an opportunity to participate in sport, or their children or their families might not have an opportunity. So what we try and do is create, I suppose, some sort of a bridge there as well to bring them into the community. And we do that through various participation programs, whether it's working with the children of the families, or whether it's working with the older adults themselves or the adults themselves in the various communities. And some of that work is done, as I said before, it's in partnership. We might work with Inishowen Development Partnership or Donegal Local Development Company or some of those organisations, because they're very much grassroots organisations, and they have their finger on the pulse in terms of what's happening in the community. There's one very good programme happening actually at Aranmore Island, the Active Aranmore programme. And on Aranmore at the minute, there's quite a diverse population out there. There's new Ukrainians living out there as well, and they're participating in the Active Aranmore programme. So it's a way of bringing people in to the community, I suppose, bringing them in so that they get to meet people and integrate better. Yeah. And it provides that healthier community as well.
Yeah, listen, you've lots of activities for them, but one that I'm looking at here that stood out, walking football.
Yeah. Well, again, that's a national programme, yeah. Again, collaborating with the likes of the Football Association of Ireland, with FAI, yeah. That's been happening for quite a number of years. I suppose what we did there is we brought it in under our Sport Together project, which was an Erasmus project, which is a European-funded programme that we've been doing with a number of organisations in the Western Balkans and with the FAI and the Irish Football Association here on the island of Ireland as well. So part of it then was we had a strong collaboration with our Fold Town Football Club here locally, and there was a number of elements there, but one of them was the walking football.
Yeah.
And again, targeting older men that may have played a bit of ball back in the day or whatever, and maybe they're not moving as quickly as they used to, so it gives them an opportunity to participate on a level platform, and it creates a bit of social interaction as well.
Yeah.
So it's bringing them socially together as well, and it's for a lot of players and ex-players that they finish playing the game and all of a sudden they find they have nothing left afterwards then to, know where to, unless they get involved in coaching or something. So it's nice. We've seen it in a number of programmes where ex-players have come back in, and now they're meeting maybe once or twice a week to participate in programmes like walking football.
Yeah, and you're also, I suppose, adding in activities for people who are here seeking refuge, for asylum seekers, maybe sports that aren't as popular to the local Donegal person. It's
absolutely
not Gaelic or soccer. You're throwing in cricket, rugby, basketball, a whole range of different sports.
Yeah, you do. We try and, I suppose, test the water with a lot of these sports. One of the ones that came through recently was Olympic handball, and it's not your normal handball that's played by the Gaelic Athletic Association, but this is a game of ball throwing as such, with a target, with a goals and all, and a goalkeeper and so on, played in indoor or outdoor. And we've worked closely with the Olympic Handball Association of Ireland to try and get that off the ground, and we're finding that that's quite a popular sport in Central Europe and in Eastern Europe as well. And there's a lot of the Ukrainian community like to participate in it, you know. So that'd be one of the ones we're trying to get off the ground. We've worked closely with cricket, with the North West Cricket Union, etc., and Cricket Ireland in terms of little bits and pieces here and there, here in Letterkenny, establishing the cricket club here in Letterkenny. Also the likes of basketball. There's a huge demand for basketball at the minute. In fact, the clubs, I think, at this stage are at bursting point when it comes to membership. So what we try and do is provide some alternative basketball sessions. So we work with the likes of the Atlantic, the ATU here in Letterkenny, to deliver programs there. Yeah. And a lot of the people that you mentioned there, the children that are coming from diversity, from the IPAS Centre of Refugees, and that are participating in those programs. Ukrainians are coming there as well, you know. So it's quite a, it's a good program, because you get to see the range of diversities that we have in our communities now. Yeah. You know, it's no longer the White Irish now, where, yeah, you know, it's such like a different, diverse...
St. Patrick's Day Parade there was the last, and all you need to see is the people taking part in that.
Absolutely.
The people who are out watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all changed in Donegal.
It's really, really positive, yeah. And it's really positive when you see that, and I think that's what sport can do. That's the power of sport, I think, as well, is that it can be a tool for development in terms of getting people together and creating inclusion and integration.
And some of these groups would be very apprehensive about trying to integrate into the community at the start, and you're providing a tool and a facility for them and an activity that gives them an opening there for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. That Sport Together project, when we started in Nerfo, one of the first things that we did was we collaborated with the ETB to provide English lessons, because a lot of the young men that were coming into from Syria that were participating in the program had very limited English, so the communication was an issue. So we provided a parallel program where we had English lessons, but then we finished it off then with an indoor soccer session.
Yeah.
And we opened it up then to various communities that are participating in what we call a football for all program. And we brought communities from as far west as Gidor and KG Rovers and different areas like that in to participate in an event then in the Aura Centre, along with the Syrian lads, you know. So there was good buzz around that, you know. So those are kind of innovative things that we can do. And again, as you say, it brings people in that are more marginalised, brings them into the centre of the community.
Are the Donegal people warming, been welcoming to these groups that are now entering the county?
I think in general they are. There are evidence there, and there are pressures on in terms of accommodation, and there's pressures on in terms of, you know, the various services, whether it's education or health, etc., and that. But I think in general, Donegal people are generally very warming, and we haven't evidenced any negativity, really. We've tried to overcome any barriers that are there, any negativity that's there in some ways, and trying to answer questions or whatever, and explaining to what exactly we're trying to do as such, you know. So, no, I think in general, people are quite positive.
Okay, and another, I suppose, area within diversity is working cross-border. We are a county that has very close connections with Derry, Tyrone and Fermanagh. Maj, what's happening there at the moment? Do you continue to have strong links and right across the board?
I suppose you do, and I suppose my experience over the last 18 years is that we have to try and work on a cross-border basis, because we have such a long border with, as you mentioned, Tyrone, Fermanagh, and with Derry as well. And we would work, and we have had a number of programmes over the years with the likes of Derry and St. Vance City Council. We've worked with the Waterside Neighbourhood Partnership up there as well. We've worked with various community organisations as well along the border area. We had a number of peace-funded programmes as well, which straddle the border area, and it was always an area of disadvantage. So it's an area that we invested quite a bit of time in it, from the whole way from basically Irvinstown right up as far as Derry City. We've been involved there over a number of years with various programs that have been funded externally, I suppose, through the European Union or the International Fund for Ireland, etc., you know. So it's been really positive.
Obviously, under that diversity banner, Miles, there's been a lot of growth over the last number of years, given the influx that we've had, particularly from the Ukrainians and refugees and asylum seekers. But a lot of the basis of the work around the sports partnership, probably in the early days, was around sports disability and sport. So it was, but that has continued to stay strong and is a mainstay of the partnership.
It is. It's one of the core areas of the sports partnership, I suppose, when we look at it. We had a sports inclusion disability officer appointed in 2008. So that's as far back as, and we started basically with a greenfield site at that stage. Therese Laverty was appointed at that time, and the first thing we did is we kind of done an analysis of the county to see what the numbers were like in terms of physical disability and also around the whole area of intellectual disabilities as well. So it was a real learning curve for us. Sport Ireland themselves weren't overly sure how it was going to develop. We knew what we wanted to do, but we weren't sure how we were going to do it. So it took a lot of work. It took a lot of training and education. It took a lot of, I suppose, tasters and trying things out to see exactly what kind of program suited the various various disabilities, etc. You know, and disabilities is such a broad area that it's very hard to get something that
was that challenging at the start for you, given the fact that it is so broad.
Yeah, it's a broad area, but and the one thing I suppose you don't really want to do is raise expectations and say that you're going to do A, B, C, and D. So we're very conscious about managing it as best we could. And we were learning as well from other organisations. We had a strong link, I suppose, and Ireland had a strong link with Sports Disability Wales at the time. And they came over. They were a wee bit more advanced. So they gave us examples of kind of work they were doing. And I suppose we tried to replicate that in Donegal as well, through the programme that the Sports Inclusion Disability Officer rolled out, you know. So it was around that whole area, but it's still a growing area. Like, we have some really, really positive stuff happening, you know, in Donegal at the minute around outdoor recreation, for example, and the benefits of the likes of blue therapy, water, for children with autism, etc. You know, so there's a whole lot of stuff, you know, that we're still learning to do. And again, what I have found is that, you know, you might have a group of maybe, you know, say 10 children with various learning disabilities, but each of them have different needs. So it's very hard to provide.
That's programs. Challenging for
yeah.
For
a tutor, for a tutor lead or for a coach or whatever. And that's presenting itself in the community now. So we have to be conscious of that. And a lot of the groups that we work with are quite small. We don't focus on the number side. We look more at the small groups, where we can really make a difference, and then how we can build that capacity in. You know, can we work with the families and the siblings, etc., and to provide something, you know, like a wraparound as well around activities and sport that they can participate in.
You talked about Sport Ireland and the length of partnership. This has now grown. This is European wide, so it is. And Therese has taken up a new role that she's going to tell us about in a second. But that shows the growth of where we're at, Miles, at the moment in the world with how the sports partnership has developed.
Absolutely. I was appointed in 2006, and there was only myself and Deirdre O'Toole, who's our senior administrator here in the organisation, and Danny Nee were the three people that were basically running the sports partnership at the time. So, you know, we've seen great strides in terms of where we've I suppose come from, in terms of trying to, at that time, I suppose, trying to be a wee bit strategic in what we were doing, but also trying to learn as to what the needs of the community were. And we developed, I think that was our second strategic plan at that time, around 2007. And we always did that. I think that's the way we always operated around that, is that piece around consultation and communication and linking and engaging with the communities out there and the sports organisations, just to determine what the needs are and then trying to put them into some sort of a plan going forward. And that sort of model has worked really well for us over the years. We'll be hopefully launching our fifth strategic plan now in May of this year. And while the main objectives of the organisation kind of generally stay the same, some of the responses have to be different because the demographics and the communities have changed so much. So it's an exciting time, I think, you know, for the organisation. And thankfully, we have a very strong board of directors as well. And we have 13 at the minute who represent various organisations, from the local authority, from the county council, to the HSE, to the ETB, the ATU in Letterkenny, and also the community and voluntary sector are involved as well, and the disability sectors are involved. So there's a good broad range of experienced people that have a good understanding of participation sport and that can provide us with an oversight as well, that can provide me and the organisation here with an oversight in terms of ensuring that we're transparent and that we're, you know, staying within the rules and regulations that are applied.
Let's now hear from some of your staff, Miles. Therese Lafferty, Lead for Sport Inclusion Department, and Hugh Carlin, Sports Inclusion Officer, to tell us what their roles are and the jobs that they do within the Donegal Sports Partnership. Listen, Therese, we'll start with you. because you're the department lead. Basically, tell us what goes on in the sports partnership under the sports inclusion banner.
I suppose, firstly, the sports inclusion department is a new development within the sports partnership, really only here as of January 2024, and it encompasses a few different projects. So the Sports Inclusion Disability Project, which has sat within the sports partnership since its inception in 2008. The more recent position of the European ESF Plus funded project, the Social Innovation and Sport Officer, of which there are 8 currently in position in Ireland, with a target of 29 due to be in position by the end of 2025, and then a variety of other equality and diversity and, I suppose, what we term special projects.
There's a change on the horizon, which has now already started. What is the ultimate goal of this European, I suppose, initiative that's taken over from the SIDO?
Yes, so the ESF Social Innovation in Sport, Sport for Empowerment project, is a project that's co-funded by the EU and the Irish government, and it sits under the Department of Further Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, sitting under the social inclusion pillar. So the targets for the programme would be people with a disability, persons from a disadvantaged background, ethnic minorities and youth at risk. So it very much sits within our sports inclusion department, and the targets cross over with the work that we currently do as well.
But this is the blueprint that's going to be used Europe-wide now. This is the project that they want to see into the future.
This is, and it's very much new territory, a new project. It's a blank canvas. It focuses on innovation, so it's nice. It's all around co-design with participants. So it's finding out their needs, getting to know the groups, finding out what it is they want to do. So it's not a prescriptive thing where we're going in with a project and saying, this is what we'd like you to do. It's all about them designing what they want to do for themselves. So I think that's the really nice. It's about persona development, empathy mapping. So all the new innovation lingo that's new to us here in the Sports Partnership.
So Therese, you have now taken up looking after the European project, but the SIDOs are still continuing. Hugh's the man now that has taken up the reins here. Hugh, maybe you'll give us an idea of what your role is.
So for the last couple of years, my role, I started out working on cross-border funding projects. So that would have been working with IFI, International Fund for Ireland, peace projects, working north and south, things like that. Then I've sort of moved into the diversity sphere, working with different new communities, ethnic minorities. So I did that sort of half and half for a long time. And then this year, with the creation of the ESF project, my remit was sort of broadened to take on the sports inclusion disability officer role alongside all the ethnic minority stuff that we're already doing. So just trying to keep on the good work that Therese has been doing for the past, 18 years?
You mentioned cross-border north and south. Yep. How important is that to have a link, I suppose, with the two?
Well, I suppose just where our geographical location is, it's important that we reach out across the border, Derry, Tyrone, Fermanagh, and just connect communities in there. We have more in common here, possibly, with people in those counties than, say, Dublin, Waterford or Cork and other places. So that's what it's about, basically. Those funders would like to see more cooperation between north and south bodies, and we use sport as a way to do that.
Yeah. Therese, as Hugh said, you've been around here for about 18 years or so. How has the inclusion department evolved over that period of time? Because I'm sure you have seen a lot of change, but more significantly change in recent years, because inclusion, diversity, disability become a lot more common in society. So how has that evolved over the last number of years?
Yeah, so when I started in 2008, I think it was myself and Miles. I might have been the original sports development officer in Donegal. It was very new territory for us. There had been a bit of a study done on engagement levels and participation of people with a disability in sport. But really, Special Olympics was the kind of the big participation opportunity at that point. You know, over the last 18 years, it has been just brilliant to see different programmes evolve, to see now a national standard for training and education that's there for participation of people with a disability. I guess there's a lot more knowledge out there, and we see clubs now anchoring programmes, having community programmes. We see a lot of community disability, F4Cs have an inclusion programme. So there really are a lot more opportunities. There are accessible people, places, and programmes now available for people with a disability.
Was this sort of forced on the clubs that they had to, I suppose, step up now to a level, given that there was so much inclusion, diversity and disability within and the community that they needed to... Were they forced into providing that platform, or is it something that they had to come with themselves because they could see it in the area?
Yeah, no, I don't think it was a case of forcing. I think it was a case of the really proactive clubs might see an opportunity. They're strong national governing bodies, NGBs, in the area of inclusion. So they obviously guide the clubs within their sport. But I think it's very much if there's participants in the club, if there's parents in the club, if you have that one good ambassador within the club, they will come forward. And I guess they see the gap in provision as well. So, you know, we often have a case where you have people travelling an hour and a half to participate in a sport or physical activity because it's not available on their doorstep. So I think clubs are starting to realise that it's not just enough to provide mainstream activities. They have to focus on an area of inclusion as well and try and work with the communities and work with the demand that's there.
Yeah. Hugh, as Sport Inclusion Officer, what programmes are you running at the moment in your department that includes all of these areas?
Well, at the moment, we're currently doing a wee bit of a needs analysis with the local providers. So working with International Protection Accommodation Services, these design programmes that Therese has mentioned up there, co-design's a key part of the role. So we're trying to, you know, design something that'll, you know, get them as much activity as possible and be of most benefit to them. We just completed a basketball program in Inishowen in partnership with Inishowen Development Partnership. That was at the tail end of 2023. So that was a basketball participation program for teenagers and is bringing all members of the community together. And now this year, as we go forward, we have a couple of plans in place to design more programmes along with them and working with clubs, you know, to provide that wee bit of sustainability after. Yep. But they're all participation programmes at the moment, you know, working with basketball, rugby programmes, Olympic handball, things like that. So there's a few ideas we have, but they're slowly but surely plans are coming together.
And are these ideas all tailored to a certain area in the community? Are they?
They'd be tailored, so they'd be working with, you know, your target group, whether it be an ethnic minorities, Ukrainians, you know, disadvantaged youth, whatever it may be, whatever they feel is the most beneficial to them. As Therese says, we're not going to be too prescriptive. We're not going to go to come with them the program. We're going to let them design it as well, so they get maximum benefit from it.
Yeah, and how's the communication when you're running these events, because obviously there's people who are coming in from different communities, different backgrounds, different countries, that they don't have the native language here, that they can't speak English. Well, is that an obstacle that you just find maybe difficult at times?
Well, there's no doubt the demographics are changing in the Northwest. You know, you have to look that there's a blend of nationalities and backgrounds. We work in partnership with local providers. You know, I mentioned IDP there and Inishowen. They'd be very good in terms of communication with, you know, the Ukrainian community and local, you know, local or IPAS centres. So for, I suppose, the language barrier is there for some people, not so much at the younger age groups, you know, and sport has that international language as well. Yeah. But no, there is bits and pieces of the language barrier that we try to alleviate with, you know, community workers and things like that.
Yeah. Obviously, under the European project that you're looking at now, January will be the first year that it's been complete. What's the projects, the media projects coming up, Therese, for you, and where do you hope this will go now over the next 12 to 24 months?
I guess since January, there's been a lot of meetings, even though you've worked in a space of inclusion for 18 years. Every day is a school day. You're learning every day. So there's been a lot of meetings with the different groups, the intercultural platforms, the domestic violence service, and all those key agencies, the IPAS centres that are involved in the provision of services and activities for our groups, you know. My project at the minute is centred around the Donegal Domestic Violence Service. So we're working with a group of women there who have children, some with a disability, some that don't have a disability, and we're trying to engage those women and children in sport and physical activity, and obviously to help them out in the capacity building element of it as well. So are there other things that we can provide for them to help them access community services, foster social inclusion with them, or to improve their job prospects? So We're working with Ciara McVeigh and Fitness LK. The women are doing a bit of work there. I spoke to Mary Devine from the Equine Therapy Centre the other day, so we're hoping to get a little bit of work done with her. We've done a number of programmes in the disability programme around equine therapy, so it's something we've really seen the benefits of, you know. Citadel are also providing, so we work with Fiona in Citadel, who are brilliant and have a really strong ethos of inclusion, and we're working there on a programme for children with a disability and children who don't have a disability, so they're providing some activities there for us around that.
Yeah. Is this the first time that you've worked with the Domestic Violence Centre, or is it relatively new, or is it something you've done before?
Yeah, this is a new project for us, new area of work. It's a lovely project and we're really enjoying it. So I like, and I guess that's part of this role, you're more hands-on again, you know, so it's nice to be out and be visible with the groups and meet the women and talk and find out what it is that they really need and want to do.
Yeah, because it's an out for them.
Exactly.
So it is. It's an out for them.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a number of activities, and it's, I suppose, in society today, and particularly where they are coming from, this will give them a lift. They know that there's a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel here for them.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the social innovation and sport for empowerment program, that's what it's really all about. It is about empowering people. So it's empowering them to be part of their community, to have other opportunities, but just using sport and physical activity as the means by which we do that. You know, so some of the people that we have met with in all of our groups have never participated in sport and physical activity. They may have had negative experiences in sport and physical activity, so they've been tainted with that.
Yeah.
So by giving them a platform where they can come together, they can connect socially, and they can have a bit of crack and a bit of fun, that makes it a lot easier then to connect them with other services that are available in their communities.
You mentioned the clubs, some of the clubs that are involved. If this is going to continue to be a success, and this European project is going to be a success, and indeed the SIDO as well, more clubs, you need more clubs to get involved, you need more clubs to step up, because it seems to be this is only going to get busier as the years go on, Trace.
Definitely. It's with all sport, Oisín. If we didn't have clubs, we wouldn't have the sports provision that we have in the county, you know, so it's no different for the work and inclusion. We have a few great clubs there. We have the Football for All programme in partnership with Letterkenny Rovers, Buncrana Hearts, and now Dunfanaghy Youths are about to start their programme, which has been a brilliant initiative in the county, again guided by a partnership of ourselves and the FAA, but very much down to the clubs in relation to the provision. Citadel, as I mentioned, are a fantastic club, great ethos of inclusion, and are currently providing classes, inclusive classes. We also have a programme of equine therapy that we've worked on with Jenny Peoples called EquiMe, but they're anchored in Glenleary stables in both Romelton and Mallin, and they're actually starting a new Special Olympics equestrian club, which is a huge development for the county, and there's such a gap in that provision, and the need is definitely there for it. There's definitely really parents that are really interested in participating, so it's lovely to see those role models and have them in the county, but we just need more of it.
Yeah, because some clubs may be shy in taking the step on to take it on, but there is funding available, there is opportunities there to aid the clubs in doing all this, Trace.
Exactly. I would never let funding be a barrier anyway to any of the provision. There's never been more funding, I think, in the area of inclusion, and even with ourselves through the department, through the volunteer funds, through the club grant scheme, we have a certain allocation of funding that we can use to support programmes like this in clubs, and we actually would look very favourably on applications from those clubs who are trying to be inclusive and have a real ethos. So not a tick the box where we just feel we're just doing this to access funding.
Yeah.
It's something to really make a difference to those who are participating.
And LGBTQIA+, a lot of talk around gender. Is that a group that maybe the sports partnership would be open to doing some work with in the future? There's nothing there at the moment, but again, this is an area that has become, I suppose, very common and has got a lot of airtime over the last number of years, so it has. And if they are to move forward, is there an opening there for them as well?
Absolutely. I think as an organisation, we're very inclusive and very open to working with anybody. So, you know, once we get an application or we get an interest, we're very happy to sit down with a group, meet them, talk about their needs again, the co-design, what is it you want to do and how we can do it. So we don't claim to be experts in everything. Myself and Hugh recently did the shout out training in that area. Excellent training available for any organisation, and I would highly recommend it if organisations are interested in provision. But it's definitely something we can look at in the future.
What's the shout out, Hugh?
That was a training we did for the LGBTQIA plus communities, and that was around, you know, gender diversity, sexual diversity, learning the terminology, that sort of stuff. And it was really, you know, an engaging training, and I think everybody there took plenty away, and, you know, I think everybody learned a lot, and, you know, they're happy to move forward with it.
It was something that needed to be learned at this stage.
I think we all need to be aware. You know, every day is a school day and you're always learning. And I think part of us, we're not afraid to say we don't know or we need to learn more. Mm. And that's how we can provide. That's how we learn to provide good programs that are inclusive for people, you know.
Just by listening to you two guys, what sort of fulfillment do you get out of this role, Therese? Obviously, it's a busy role. It's your work environment. But I'm sure when you work with the different types of people that you have in some of these programs, is there fulfillment of some sort for it in you?
Yeah, that's why I'm here so long, Oisín. It is lovely work, and that's not to be condescending. It is just, you know, people say you need to love your work. Well, I think we do. There's a real passion and a motivation here to try and help people. It is rewarding work, and you can see the impact. You know, you can really see the impact on people, you know, whether it's making new friendships, whether it's confidence, whether it's just happiness in general life, or whether it's participating in a new activity. But it's really nice to see.
Yeah, what about you, Hugh?
Much the same as Therese. You know, it is really rewarding, and when you see good outcomes and good programs, you know, you see the benefits of that in communities, you know, it makes it all worthwhile. Some of my work is around integration and things like that. And I can remember when, you know, the first Syrians came, you know, part of that refugee crisis, and we were working with them in a football and language program and things like that, and 6-7 years later their daughters are coming, you know, their basketball programs and things like that. So it shows that we've helped in some way, you know, with some short-term interventions and long-term interventions as well, and that was a nice outcome, and that makes it all worthwhile.
And listen, Therese, we like to see ourselves as unique up here in Donegal, be it in the sporting front or be it in whatever walk of life. But the partnership here in the county had the first ever community sports hub. So they had. So is Donegal leading the way, or are we seen as being one of these counties that really grasp a hold of, I suppose, taking a stand and taking our initiative and moving forward with things?
Yeah, we definitely are unique, and I guess that's in our infrastructure and our landscape, and I suppose in our partnerships, which has been a real strength of our sports partnership here locally. Our key partners, those agencies, the clubs that we collaborate with, have really helped us to sustain and to engage with the people that we're trying to reach in the community. We had the first community sport and physical activity hub dedicated to the participation of people with a disability, the Donegal Bay Inclusive Sports Hub, which was a 5-year funding strand. So that was very unique, and I think it's still maybe the only that exists. I know there are other sports partnerships now looking at provision for people with a disability, but it was definitely the first in the country of its type, you know. So we're innovative, and I guess if you look at the guiding principles of the ESF Plus programme, it is inclusion, partnership, learning and innovation. And I would like to think that we would be to the forefront of those areas within the work that we do.
I would just, you know, reiterate what Therese says there. We happened to be at a regional meeting of development officers the last day, and there was a real keenness to hear what was going on in Donegal, and highlight the, you know, the unique challenges, barriers that we face up here and how we're tackling them. There was also a keenness to hear how this new department, the development is going. So we just feel as if the word's getting out there of what we're doing and people are keen to hear.
And just finally, sport inclusion has grew over the last number of years. There are now 2 years of you in this department, Hugh. But if it keeps going on the trajectory that it is, there's going to have to be a bit of growth within the department as well, I suppose, to deal with everything that's happening at the moment.
Well, I would hope so. I would hope the way it's going, you know, you know, more hands, like lighter work, I suppose. And when all our projects, there's obviously lots of cross collaboration between the groups. You know, myself and Therese are obviously collaborating on numerous projects now, but within those, there's capacity building, skills needed, education and training. And we looked at the expertise of Maggie and other providers to help provide that as well. It's a key part of the capacity building and partnership stuff that we've gone on about recently.
Yeah, I think it would be great to see extra resourcing in place. It's a big county. There's a lot of programs. It's a big target area of work. People make places, people make programs. So the more manpower we have, the more we can help to increase the provision and sustainability in the future.
Therese Laverty, lead for the Sports Inclusion Department of Donegal Sport Partnership, and Sport Inclusion Officer Hugh Carlin. Many thanks for joining us, and we wish you all the best and every success with your continued excellent work.
Thanks for having us, Oisin.
So that's Therese Laverty and Hugh Carden from the Sports Inclusion Department, and they also talked about the sports hub, the community sports hubs here now in Donegal.
Yeah.
It has grown. There's several hubs, yeah, which are now key for those who want to be and to participate in sport, who want to have an activity.
I think the hubs have worked well in Donegal, Oisin, because as I mentioned earlier, we're such a big county. We're an unwieldy big rural county, and it's very, very hard to get into every single community to actually deliver programs. So the hubs have given us this opportunity to go into areas and try and develop participation sport. So we were very, I suppose, blessed that the likes of Dormant Accounts came on board through Sport Ireland at the time, and they came to us. They actually did come to us to ask where they could invest, where sport could make a difference in terms of working with disadvantaged and more marginalised communities. And they give us an opportunity to kind of put a model together. So we came up with the model ourselves around the whole area of developing sports hubs. And the hub basically is a hub in any community, but that brings a number of organisations together as a cluster as such. So you could have one community group anchoring a hub, but then you might have four or five of other organisations, building up and working in partnership with them within the community. It also gave us an opportunity to do a wee bit of a needs analysis in those communities to find out the needs as well and how sport could respond. So the very first hub was in 2015, which should be 10 years actually next year, it's hard to believe. And it was down in Mahari, which is in West Donegal, working with a group called Mahari Lahela. And they have built it up over the years, and it's still sustaining itself down there. It's very much focused on outdoor recreation, on areas like kayaking, stand-up paddling, walking, cycling, snorkeling are included there as well. And there's some rock climbing and bits and pieces like that. So it's really an outdoor recreation. It's a rural area, a small community, but they then engage with the local schools, the local organisations. They have that area is quite a tourist area as well, so they provide during the summer then. So it's nearly like a self-financing organisation or a little social enterprise there now. So we have very little involvement with it, except just to keep monitoring it from afar as such. But we have Donegal Bay Inclusive Sports Hub, which is the only inclusive sports hub, which is based in the Donegal Bay area, working with areas like Kilcar and Killybegs and into Rosnaula and that as well, working with organisations like Liquid Therapy and with the Rosnaula Surf Club and the likes of Kilcar Kayaking Club have been involved with us as well. So there's been a lot of developments down in that area. Our third hub then is in the urban hub that's been based here in the Letterkenny Town Park, and anybody that's been to the Town Park in the last short while has seen the developments up there. It's really becoming an urban activity hub up there now, with the likes of the park run on a Saturday morning. We have now got a pump track up there as well. We have the park is mapped for orienteering, so it's digitally mapped for orienteering as well. And recently then there's chess tables, and there's also a tech ball table now as well, which is a new sport, which was originated in Hungary. and it's using, it's like a table tennis, but it's a table tennis with a football.
Right.
So it'll be a whole new thing, and we're going to try and get a few programs up and running now in the short term. Our fourth hub is in Rye. It's a community based hub working with the Rye Community Organisation down there, and it's more based on it's in the facility. So we're trying to use, I suppose, the facility and the community organisation there to develop. And there's quite a lot of sports going on down there. And our final hub, which we're only getting off the ground now, is Inishowen, and it's working with the Inishowen Development Partnership, and that's focusing on walking and on cycling. And we've just recently appointed a coordinator down there, a part-time coordinator, to roll out a programme. And what we're doing at the minute is just a bit of groundwork, I suppose, rather than needs analysis. And again, it'll be collaboration, working with a number of different community organisations that have interest in walking and cycling.
Okay. And just finally then, Miles, looking ahead now, things have changed. The landscape has changed within the sports partnership, and I suppose everything that you have provided over the last number of years, and that's going to change into the future as well, given what's happening within the communities here, and particularly with community groups from minority backgrounds, asylum seekers, Ukrainians, refugees. There's just a couple of the groups that are now coming into the county. What's the goals now for the partnership? You mentioned that you have a strategic plan now for the next number of years. Where's the sports partnership going to go next? How's it going to develop?
We've developed a lot over the last probably 4 years, especially with additional staff, additional resources. The government nationally have invested quite a lot more money into participation sport as well through Sport Ireland. And I think that's paying dividends. I don't see it changing. I see it broadening. And I think, you know, we get more into that whole area of health and well-being now as well. We've been pulled into that a lot more, I feel. So that would be a real challenge, again, working with real, you know, people stepping down from clinical health issues into the community, and how the community then can respond in supporting them and so on. So it's those step down type programs that we have as well. It's like everything. I don't see our structure changing or our strategy changing an awful lot, but I do see that we have to be responsive and fluid to, you know, the needs of the community. So what we're presenting at the minute are things like volunteering, which I mentioned earlier, and the capacity building, and how do we get more volunteers involved in sport, because volunteering is massive in terms of sports provision, whether it's participation sport or whether it's competitive sport or whether it's elite sport. We need sports volunteers. We need people that will step up to take leadership roles. We need people that will step up to take coaching roles. We need administrators. We need officials. And if we don't have that, you know, so there's a need to keep the pressure on there, and working again in partnership with the various bodies to try and ensure that we build capacity in that area for the years going forward. Areas like mental health is a huge area that's presented itself as well, and how we best can respond. What type of programs can we deliver within the communities to support mental health in the communities, because it's presenting itself as a huge issue. So those will be a number of areas that we'll be focusing on. Our cross-border, we still have to maintain a strong level of cross-border. We need to ensure that, you know, the impacts of Brexit and the border and that doesn't affect us as much. We need to be working collaboratively on a west-east way. We can't be depending on Dublin all of the time. We have to be working across the border. And we've had great positive programs working in both the unionist and nationalist areas of Northern Ireland over the years as well. And we try and build on that going forward. And again, organisations like the International Fund for Ireland and the European Union have really helped us to do that. Those would be areas I think that we'll be focusing on. Again, when we respond, we try and respond to research, and we try and make it in a way that we understand our communities. And I suppose when we look at, for example, when we do a national monitor of sports participation in Ireland, we can see exactly who's not participating and who is participating. And at the minute, teenagers are huge. It's a challenge. The drop-off in terms of sort of the 14, 15-year-old as well in terms of sport. When they move into sort of second level education, there seems to be a drop off there in terms of sport. So that's been a challenge over the years. So how we maintain that, because the teenagers of today and tomorrow are going to be the adults of the future, and we need to ensure that we try and keep them involved in some way and try and broaden out their sports provision, and that it can't all be competitive. That we need to have other sources and other programs that they can participate in.
Well, Miles Swinney, there's a lot to happen now in the next couple of years. There's a lot happening at the moment. Many thanks for talking to us on Active Donegal. We'll be out and about over the next number of weeks, and we're going to go to a number of these activities that you provide, and I'm sure we're going to get a fantastic response to the work that you guys do here in the partnership, and we just wish you every continued success with what you're doing.
Thanks very much, Oisin. Thanks for coming.
That's it for Programme 1 of our Active Donegal series. For more information on what the Donegal Sports Partnership provides to the community, go to their website, activedonegal.com. In our next programme, which will be broadcast on the Maybank holiday weekend, we focus on women in sport. The Active Donegal series is produced by Highland Radio and funded by the Commission na Man with the television licence fee.